The Pendant Shakespeare presents Chapter 3 of Henry VI, Part 2.
Believe me, lords, for flying at the brook I saw not better sport this 7 years' day. Yet, by your leave, the wind was very high, and 10 to 1 old Joan had not gone out.
But what a point, my lord, your falcon made, and what a pitch she flew above the rest, to see how God in all his creatures works. Yea, man and birds are fain of climbing high.
No marvel, and it like your majesty, my lord protector's hawks do tower so well. They know their master loves to be aloft, and bears his thoughts above his falcon's pitch.
My lord, 'tis but a base ignoble mind that mounts no higher than a bird can soar.
I thought as much. He would be above the clouds.
Aye, my lord cardinal, how think you by that? Would it not good your grace could fly to heaven?
A treasury of everlasting joy.
Thy heaven is on earth. Thine eyes and thoughts beat on a crown. The treasure of thy heart. Pernicious protector. Dangerous peer. That smooth'st it so with king and commonwealth.
What, cardinal? Is your priesthood grown peremptory? Tentini animus celestibus ire? Churchman so hot? Good uncle, hide such malice. With such holiness, can you do it?
Oh, no malice, sir. No more than well becomes so good a quarrel, and so bad a peer.
As who, my lord?
Why, as you, my lord. And like your lordly lord protectorship.
Why, Suffolk, England knows thine insolence.
And thy ambition, Gloucester.
I prithee peace, good queen. And wet not on these furious peers. For blessed are the peacemakers on earth.
Let me be blessed by the peace I make against this proud protector with my sword.
Faith, holy uncle, would twere come to that.
Marry, when thou darest.
Make up no factious numbers for the matter. In thine own person, answer thy abuse.
Aye, where thou darest not peep. And if thou darest, this evening, on the east side of the grove.
How now, my lords?
Believe me, cousin Gloucester, had not your man put up the fowl so suddenly, we had had more sport. Come with thy two-hand sword.
True, uncle.
Are ye advised? The east side of the grove.
Cardinal, I am with you.
Why, how now, uncle Gloucester?
Talking of hawking, nothing else, my lord. Now, by God's mother priest, I'll shave your crown for this, or all my fence shall fail.
Medice te ipsum. Protector, protect yourself.
The winds grow high. So do your stomachs, lords. How irksome is this music to my heart. When such strings jar, what hope of harmony? I pray, my lords, let me compound this strife.
A miracle! A miracle! A miracle!
Fellow, what miracle dost thou proclaim?
A miracle! A miracle!
Come to the king and tell him what miracle.
Forsooth, a blind man at St. Alban's shrine within this half hour hath received his sight. A man that ne'er saw in his life before.
Now God be praised, that to believing souls gives light in darkness, comfort in despair.
Here comes the townsman on procession to present your highness with the man.
Great is his comfort in this earthly vale. Although by his sight his sin be multiplied.
Stand by, my masters. Bring him near the king. His highness's pleasure is to talk with him.
Good fellow, tell us here the circumstance that we for thee may glorify the Lord. What? Hast thou been long blind and now restored?
Born blind, ain't please your grace.
Aye, indeed, was he.
What woman is this?
His wife, and like your lordship.
Hadst thou been his mother, thou couldst have better told.
Where wert thou born?
At Berwick, in the north, ain't like your grace.
Poor soul, God's goodness hath been great to thee. Never let day nor night unhallowed pass, but still remember what the Lord hath done.
Tell me, good fellow, camest thou here by chance, or of devotion to this holy shrine?
God knows, of pure devotion, being called 100 times and oftener in my sleep, by good St. Alban, who said, Simcock, come. Come offer at my shrine, and I will help thee.
Most true, forsooth. And many time and oft myself have heard a voice to call him so.
What? Art thou lame?
Aye. God Almighty help me.
How camest thou so?
A fall off a tree.
A plum tree, master.
How long hast thou been blind?
Born so, master.
What? And wouldst climb a tree?
But that in all my life, when I was a youth.
Too true. And bought his climbing very dear.
Mass, thou lovedst plums so well that wouldst venture so?
Alas, good master, my wife desired some damsons and made me climb with danger of my life.
A subtle knave, but yet it shall not serve. Let me see thine eyes. Wink now. Now open them. In my opinion yet, thou seest not well.
Yes, master. Clear as day, I thank God and Saint Alban.
Sayst thou me so? What color is this cloak of?
Red, master. Red as blood.
Why, that's well said. What color is my gown of?
Black, forsooth. Coal black as jet.
Why then thou knowest what color jet is of?
And yet, I think, jet did he never see.
But cloaks and gowns before this day are many.
Never before this day in all his life.
Tell me, sirrah, what's my name?
Alas, master, I know not.
What's his name?
I know not.
Nor his?
No, indeed, master.
What's thine own name?
Saunder Simcock, and if it please you, master.
Then, Saunder, sit there, the lyingest knave in Christendom. If thou hadst been born blind, thou mightest have well known all our names, as thus to name the several colors we do wear. Sight may distinguish of colors, but suddenly to nominate them all, it is impossible. My lord, St. Alban here, hath done a miracle, and would ye not think his cunning to be great, that could restore this cripple to his legs again?
Oh, master, that you could.
My masters of St. Albans, have you not beadles in your town, and things called whips?
Yes, my lord, if it please your grace.
Then send for one presently. Now fetch me a stool hither by and by. Now, sirrah, if you mean to save yourself from whipping, leap me over this stool and run away.
Alas, master, I am not able to stand alone. You go about to torture me in vain.
Well, sir, we must have you find your legs. Sirrah Beadle, whip him till he leap over that same stool.
I will, my lord. Come on, sirrah. Off with your doublet, quickly.
Alas, master, what shall I do? I am not able to stand. Oh, ah!
Oh,
yes.
Oh, God, seest thou this embarrassed so long?
It made me laugh to see the villain run.
Follow the knave and take this drab away.
Alas, sir, we did it for pure need.
Let them be whipped through every market town till they come to Berwick from whence they came.
Duke Humphrey has done a miracle today.
True. Made the lame to leap and fly away.
But you have done more miracles than I. You made in a day, my lord, whole towns to fly.
What tidings with our cousin Buckingham?
Such as my heart doth tremble to unfold. A sort of naughty persons, lewdly bent, under the countenance and confederacy of Lady Eleanor, the Protector's wife, the ringleader and head of all this rout, have practiced dangerously against your state, dealing with witches and with conjurers whom we have apprehended in the fact, raising up wicked spirits from underground, demanding of King Henry's life and death, and other of your highness's privy council, as more at large your grace shall understand.
Oh, God, what mischiefs work the wicked ones, heaping confusion on their own heads thereby.
Gloucester, see here the danger of thy nest, and look thyself be faultless, thou wert best.
Madam, for myself, to heaven I do appeal. How I have loved my king and commonweal, and for my wife, I know not how it stands. Sorry I am to hear what I have heard. Noble she is, but if she have forgot honor and virtue, and conversed with such as like to pitch, defile nobility, I banish her my bed and company, and give her as a prey to law and shame, that hath dishonored Gloucester's honest name.
Well, for this night we will repose us here. Tomorrow toward London back again, to look into this business thoroughly, and call these foul offenders to their answers, and poise the cause in justice equal scales, whose beam stands sure, whose rightful cause prevails.
Now, my good lords of Salisbury and Warwick, our simple supper ended, give me leave in this close walk to satisfy myself in craving your opinion of my title, which is infallible to England's crown.
My lord, I long to hear it at full.
Sweet York, begin. And if thy claim be good, the Nevilles are thy subjects to command.
Then thus, Edward the Third, my lords, had 7 sons. The first, Edward the Black Prince, Prince of Wales. The second, William of Hatfield. And then the third, Lionel, Duke of Clarence. Next to whom was John of Gaunt, the Duke of Lancaster. The fifth was Edmund Langley, Duke of York. The sixth was Thomas of Woodstock, Duke of Gloucester. William of Windsor was the 7th and last. Edward the Black Prince died before his father and left behind him Richard, his only son, who after Edward III's death reigned as king, till Henry Bolingbroke, Duke of Lancaster, the eldest and heir of John the Gaunt, crowned by the name of Henry IV, seized on the realm, deposed the rightful king, sent his poor queen to France, from whence she came, and him to Pomfrette, where, as you all know, harmless Richard was murdered traitorously.
Father, the Duke hath told the truth. Thus got the House of Lancaster the crown.
Which now they hold by force and not by right. For Richard, the first son's heir being dead, the issue of the next son should have reigned.
But William of Hatfield died without an heir.
The third son, Duke of Clarence, from whose line I claimed the crown, had issue, Philippe, a daughter, who married Edmund Mortimer, Earl of March. Edmund had issue, Roger, Earl of March. Roger had issue, Edmund, Anne, and Eleanor.
This Edmund, in the reign of Bolingbroke, as I have read, laid claim onto the crown, and but for Owen Glendower had been king, who kept him in captivity till he died. But to the rest.
His eldest sister Anne, my mother, being heir unto the crown, married Richard, Earl of Cambridge, who was son to Edmund Langley, Edward III's 5th son. By her, I claim the kingdom. She was heir to Roger, Earl of March, who was the son of Edmund Mortimer, who married Philippe, sole daughter unto Lionel, Duke of Clarence. So if the issue of the elder sons succeed before the younger, I am king.
What plain proceeding is more plain than this? Henry doth claim the crown from John of Gaunt, the 4th son. York claims it from the 3rd. Till Lionel's issue fails, his should not reign. It fails not yet, but flourishes in thee and in thy sons, fair slips of such a stock. Then, Father Salisbury, kneel we together, and in this private plot we be the first that shall salute our rightful sovereign with honour of his birthright to the crown.
Long live our sovereign Richard, England's king.
Yes, long live our sovereign Richard, England's king.
We thank you, lords, but I am not your king till I be crowned, and that my sword be stained with hot blood of the House of Lancaster. And that's not suddenly to be performed, but with advice and silent secrecy. Do you as I do in these dangerous days. Wink at the Duke of Suffolk's insolence, at Beaufort's pride, at Somerset's ambition, at Buckingham and all the crew of them. Till they have snared the shepherd of the flock, that virtuous prince, the good Duke Humphrey. 'Tis that they seek, and they in seeking that shall find their deaths, if York can prophesy.
My lord, break we off. We know your mind at full.
My heart assures me that the Earl of Warwick shall one day make the Duke of York a king.
And Neville, this I do assure myself. Richard shall live to make the Earl of Warwick the greatest man in England. But the king...
Stand forth, Dame Eleanor Cobham, Gloucester's wife. In sight of God and us, your guilt is great. Receive the sentence of the law for sins such as by God's book are adjudged to death. You four, from hence to prison back again, from thence unto the place of execution. The witch in Smithfield shall be burned to ashes, and you three shall be strangled on the gallows. You, madam, for you are more nobly born, despoiled of your honour in your life, shall after 3 days open penance done, live in your country here in banishment, with Sir John Stanley in the Isle of Man.
Welcome is banishment! Welcome were my death!
Eleanor, the law, thou seest, hath judged thee. I cannot justify whom the law condemns. Mine eyes are full of tears, my heart of grief. Ah, Humphrey, this dishonor in thine age will bring thy head with sorrow to the ground. I beseech your majesty, give me leave to go. Sorrow would solace, and mine age would ease.
Stay, Humphrey, Duke of Gloucester. Ere thou go, give up thy staff. Henry will to himself protect a bee, and God shall be my hope, my stay, my guide and lantern to my feet. And go in peace, Humphrey, no less beloved than when thou wert protected to thy king.
I see no reason why a king of years should be to be protected like a child. God and King Henry govern England's realm. Give up your staff, sir, and the king his realm.
My staff? Here, noble Henry, is my staff. As willingly do I the same resign as ere thy father Henry made it mine. And even as willingly at thy feet I leave it, as others would ambitiously receive it. Farewell, good king. When I am dead and gone, may honorable peace attend thy throne.
Why, now is Henry king, and Margaret queen, and Humphrey, Duke of Gloucester, scarce himself, that bears so shrewd a name. 2 pulls at once. His lady banished, and a limb lopped off. This staff of honour wrought, there let it stand where it best fits to be, in Henry's hand.
Thus droops this lofty pine, and hangs his sprays. Thus Eleanor's pride dies in her youngest days.
Lords, let him go. Please it, your majesty. This is the day appointed for the combat. And ready are the appellant and defendant, the armorer and his man, to enter the lists. So please your highness to behold the fight.
Aye, good, my lord. For purposely therefore left I the court, to see this quarrel tried.
Oh, God's name. See the lists and all things fit. Here, let them end it, and God defend the right.
I never saw a fellow worse bested, or more afraid to fight than is the appellant, the servant of this armorer, my lords.
Head, neighbor corner, I drink to you in a cup of sack. And fear not, neighbor, you shall do well enough. Here's a pot of good double beer, neighbor. Drink, and fear not your man.
Let it come, if faith. And I'll pledge you all, and a fig for Peter.
Here, Peter, I drink to thee, and be not afraid. Be merry, Peter, and fear not thy master. Fight for credit of the prentices.
I thank you all. Drink, and pray for me, I pray for you. For I think I had taken my last draught in this world. Here, Robin, And if I die, I give thee my apron. And will thou shalt have my Emma. And here, Tom, take all the money that I have. Oh, Lord bless me. I pray God, for I am never able to deal with my master. He had learnt me so much fence already.
Come, leave your drinking and fall to blows. Sirrah, what's thy name?
Peter, forsooth.
Peter? What more?
Thump.
Thump? Then see thou thump thy master well.
Masters, I am come hither, as it were, upon my man's instigation, to prove him a knave and myself an honest man. And touching the Duke of York, I will take my death. I never meant him any ill, nor the king, nor the queen. And therefore, Peter, have at thee with a downright blow.
Dispatch! This knave's tongue begins to double. Sound trumpets, alarum to the combatants.
Oh, yes.
Aye.
Oh.
Hold, Peter, hold. I confess treason. Oh.
Take away his weapon. Fellow, thank God, and a good wine in thy master's way.
Oh, God, have I overcome mine enemy in this presence? Oh, Peter, thou hast prevailed in right.
Go, take hence that traitor from our sight, and for his death we do perceive his guilt. And God in justice hath revealed to us the truth and innocence of this poor fellow, which he had thought to have murdered wrongfully. Come, fellow, follow us for thy reward.
Thus sometimes hath the brightest day a cloud, and after summer evermore succeeds barren winter with his wrathful, nipping cold, so cares and joys abound as seasons fleet. Sirs, what's o'clock?
10, my lord.
10 is the hour that was appointed me to watch the coming of my punished duchess. Uneath may she endure the flinty streets, to tread them with her tender feeling feet. Sweet Nell, ill can thy noble mind brook the abject people gazing on thy face, with envious looks, laughing at thy shame, that erst did follow thy proud chariot wheels when thou didst ride in triumph through the streets. But soft, I think she comes, and I'll prepare my tear-stained eyes to see her miseries.
So please, your grace, we'll take her from the sheriff.
No, stir not for your lives. Let her pass by.
Look at her. Strumpet!
Come you, my lord, to see my open shame? Now thou dost penance too. Look how they gaze. See how the giddy multitude do point and nod their heads and throw their eyes on thee. Ah, Gloucester, hide thee from their hateful looks, and in thy closet pent up room my shame, and ban thine enemies, both mine and thine.
Be patient, gentle Nell. Forget this grief.
Ah, Gloucester, teach me to forget myself. For whilst I think I am thy married wife, and thou a prince, protector of this land, methinks I should not thus be led along, mailed up in shame with papers on my back, and followed with a rabble that rejoice to see my tears and hear my deep-fed groans. The ruthless flint doth caught my tender feet, and when I start, the envious people laugh and bid me be advised how I tread. Oh, Humphrey, can I bear this shameful yoke? Trust thou that e'er I'll look upon the world, or count them happy that enjoy the sun? No, dark shall be my light, and night my day. To think upon my pomp shall be my hell. Sometime I'll say, I am Duke Humphrey's wife, and he a prince and ruler of the land, yet so ruled and such a prince he was, as he stood by whilst I, his forlorn duchess, was made a wonder and a pointing stock to every idle rascal follower. But be thou mild, and blush not at my shame, nor stir at nothing till the axe of death hang over thee, as sure it shortly will. For Suffolk, he that can do all in all, with her that hateth thee and hates us all, and York and impious Beaufort, that false priest, have all limed bushes to betray thy wings, and fly thou how thou canst. They'll tangle thee. But fear not thou, until thy foot be snared, nor never seek prevention of thy foes.
Ah, Nell, forbear. Thou aimest all awry. I must offend before I be attented. And had I 20 times so many foes, and each of them had 20 times their power, all of these could not procure me any scathe, so long as I am loyal, true, and crimeless. Wouldst have me rescue thee from this reproach? Why, yet thy scandal were not wiped away, but I in danger for the breach of law. Thy greatest help is quiet, gentle Nell, I pray thee. Sort thy heart to patience. These few days' wonder will be quickly worn.
I summon your grace to his majesty's parliament, holden at Bury, the 1st of this next month.
And my consent, ne'er asked herein before. This is close dealing. Well, I will be there. My Nell, I take my leave. And Master Sheriff, let not her penance exceed the king's commission. Must you, Sir John, protect my lady here?
So am I given in charge. May it please your grace.
Entreat her not the worse, and that I pray you use her well. The world may laugh again, and I may live to do you kindness, if you do it her. And so, Sir John, farewell.
What gone, my lord, and bid me not farewell?
Witness my tears. I cannot stay to speak.
Art thou gone too? All comfort go with thee, for none abides with me. My joy is death. Death at whose name I oft have been afeard, because I wished this world's eternity. Stanley, I prithee, go and take me hence. I care not whither, for I beg no favour. Only convey me where thou art commanded.
Why, madam, that is to the Isle of Man, there to be used according to your state.
That's bad enough, for I am but reproach. And shall I then be used reproachfully?
Like to a duchess and Duke Humphrey's lady, according to that state you shall be used.
Sheriff, farewell, and better than I fare, although thou hast been conduct of my shame. Come, Stanley, shall we go?
Madam, your penance done, throw off this sheet, and go we to attire you for our journey.
My shame will not be shifted with my sheet. No, it will hang itself upon my richest robes and show itself. Attire me how I can. Go, lead the way. I long to see my prison.
The Pendant Shakespeare, also known as the Wild Bill Variety Show, presents Chapter 3 of Henry VI, Part 2. Featuring the voice talents of Justine Leah Hintz as Queen Margaret, Emmeline Tuck as King Henry, W. Keith Timms as Suffolk, Sarah Palmero as Cardinal Winchester, Pete Lotz as Gloucester, Jeff Robinson as Horner and Townsman, Gareth Bowley as Blind Simcox, Kendra Murray as Simcox's wife, E. Rachel Ward as the Mayor in Buckingham, Julia Eve as Warwick, Edward Herman as Salisbury, Adam Blandford as York, Kat Peterson as the Duchess of Gloucester, Bruce Davis as the Apprentice, Russell Gold as the Neighbor, Josh Kibbe as Peter, Loretta Chang as the Servant, and Kirsty Wolven as Stanley. Audio adaptation by Morgan Z. Soul, directed by Jeff Robinson, produced by Pendant Productions. This production is copyright 2024, Pendant Productions.
For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.